This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate your tuning in. And again, we're a week away from the Breeders, less than a week away, because Breeders' Cup kicks off on Friday and Saturday next week at Keeneland. And so we're going to get into some Breeders' Cup conversation, some Breeders' Cup previews and whatnot. You may remember Gary Contessa joined us during Saratoga and was out in the field doing some interviews for us that we plugged into the morning programming, did some Zoom interviews and whatnot. Well, we tapped into Gary again, and Gary has some interviews with Breeders' Cup performers, and I have an interview as well, but a little bit later in the show. Gary's going to talk to Joe Orsino, Imprimis in the Turf Sprint. Kelly Breen has Frenzy Fire in the Sprint itself. Gary also caught up with Ken McPeak, of course, Swiss Skydiver, Simply Ravishing. So there are a couple of live runners from him, and he has two in the Juvenile, including King Fury, who he wasn't sure after winning just last week at Churchill on their two-year-old day. He won the Street Sense with King Fury, and they were talking to him in the winner's circle and said, you know, which direction are you going to go with King Fury? Are you going to shoot for the Kentucky Jockey Club? He said, maybe we'll go to the Breeders' Cup. And when the pre-entries came out, King Fury was in there. So Ken McPeak with some live runners coming up on Breeders' Cup weekend. Gary will talk to those, but yesterday I caught up via phone with Chad Brown, who has a number of very live contenders in the Breeders' Cup. Surprise, surprise. So we'll talk to Chad Brown right now and get some of his thoughts on the upcoming Friday and Saturday action right around the corner. Keeneland, looking forward to it. Up next, Chad Brown. Happy to be joined now by Chad Brown. A number of big runners coming up on Breeders' Cup weekend, and we'll hit on some of those and more. Chad, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate having you. We appreciate you taking the time. I'm sure it is a busy time. And as I say, you have prominent runners over the couple of days, Keeneland Breeders' Cup weekend. I want to hit specifically on some of those. I just had a couple of questions before we get to the specifics, though. I'm curious because every year, as fans, we hear trainers and connections kind of put the Breeders' Cup on their calendar and then work back with their potential contenders. I'm just wondering how much this year, if at all, how much did the pandemic kind of play into and affect your planning, your training, your racing, and getting your horses ready for the Breeders' Cup this year?
Yeah, it really was a challenge, I'm sure, for everybody, including us, with, you know, getting some of these horses started this year. Typically, our season for our stable really starts, you know, around the 1st of April when we really start gearing up, and that's when everything really started to shut down. So it was very challenging, and it took a while to get things going this year. And we've had a very solid year, but just much more of a challenge and a later start than I would have liked. But anyway, I got a lot of horses, you know, going in the right direction right now in the Breeders' Cup, I think, in good form.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. And just one more question on that. With the pandemic situation and some of the jockeys being in bubbles and having it have been hard for them to travel from track to track, last couple of months, how has the jockey situation affected you?
Well, it hasn't really affected too much. I mean, we've shuffled around a little bit, but fortunately we have a good group of, you know, talented, high-end, you know, professional jockeys that have outstanding records that can get the job done for us. So that really hasn't been, you know, too much of a challenge for us, thankfully.
All right. Let's take a look at some of the highlights, and we'll kind of work our ways back a little bit and hit on just a few of your runners coming up over the next the couple of days of the Breeders' Cup. But let's start Breeders' Cup Distaff and take a look at Dunbar Road. I pulled up a replay going back to the Delaware Handicap, July 11th. Dunbar Road's going to be the number two horse. She just looked phenomenal on this afternoon. Subsequently, she ran third in the Beldame on October 4th at Belmont. What was your takeaway coming out of the Beldame, and how's she training up to the Distaff?
She's doing really well. She had a minor issue exiting the Beldame, and but we got it corrected, and now she's back in good form, and training well. At last race, she was a little rusty, and for whatever reason, she just didn't look like she handled the track very well. So, she's back looking good, and hopefully, she handles the Keeneland track. She's run there before and run well, so I'm hoping she takes that track a little better.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the races folks are really looking forward to, Swiss Skydiver and Monomoy Girl. As a trainer, do you get geared up for a big race like that? You know, some big names, and as I say, it'll be a highlight, I think, for the fans, too.
Yeah, what we, like you said, work backwards for, just working towards the big championship day. We think we have a lot of them going in the right direction, but these are tough races, and you really have to have your horses on the right game.
Sure, absolutely. All right, let's take a look at some of the runners you have in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Again, another highly anticipated race. You have some contenders, solid contenders, but Halliday's in there coming out of a win in the four-star Dave, Ivar out of a win in the Shadwell Turf Mile. We're going to take a look at Uni. She won the First Lady in her last start. Same prep she used to go into a win in this race last year, the Breeders' Cup Mile. How's she coming in this year? As a buyer's guy, the buyers were a little stronger last year, but again, she's coming out of the win in the same prep this year, win over the course. How's Uni coming into the Breeders' Cup Mile?
She looks good. She's finally rounding back into form. She's a horse that got a late start because of everything, and it took a while to get the rust off, so to speak. And, she's a six-year-old mare, and these horses can be sometimes a challenge to just keep interested in what they're doing. And, she certainly came back into form in her last race, which was really impressive, and she's trained super since.
Also wanted to take same race, a look at Digital Age. We pulled up for Digital Age Turf Classic at Churchill Downs on September 5th. Digital Age will be the number four horse as we take a look here. And again, as a buyer guy, I'm looking at the improving buyers. Seems to me that Digital Age is one of those horses improved and improving as a four-year-old.
Yeah, he is. And, cutting him back to a mile is an interesting move. I think if the pace is strong, he's going to show a good late kick. And he's an interesting live long shot, I think.
What were your thought processes to try the mile?
Well, it's just given that he doesn't want to run a mile and a half. We know that. He's got a good turn of foot, and he's certainly bred to handle a cutback. So, it made sense to give it a try.
And Raging Bull coming out of the second behind Ivar in the Shadwell Turf Mile. Your thoughts on Raging Bull coming up in the Breeders' Cup Mile?
Yeah, he's training super. I mean, this horse is really good company, to his credit. I mean, he's really only running grade ones maybe his last 10, 11 starts. So he doesn't duck anyone, and he's a bit pace-dependent. He needs a good solid pace in front of him. And if he gets it here, I think he's going to come with a good run. And with a clear forecast next week, I think he'll appreciate firmer ground as well.
Yeah, and we should note, it does look like the extended forecast looks like it's going to be great, which, knock on wood, we're really looking forward to. Breeders' Cup Filly and Mile Turf, again, you have some really solid contenders in here. First, I wanted to talk about My Sister Charlie and My Sister Nat, the siblings. But going back, two or three weeks ago, Peter Brandt, the owner of both of those horses, also had Satsash in the ARC, won that one. Did he get all three of these horses at auction? And how incredible is it that not only he wound up with all three, but they're all three top-level performers?
Yeah, the first three foals out of that mare. So she's a really remarkable brood mare. And he unfortunately doesn't own the mare, but he bought all these horses individually at different times. And he really, after buying Sister Charlie privately, really doubled down and tripled down into the family, which was a smart move. And you know, all three horses are really high quality. And these two fillies are much different, you know, looking and different to train, Sister Charlie and my sister Nat. But it's kind of cool to have half siblings in the same race running together. And I don't know if that's even been done before in one of these races or in this race, but it's been pretty cool to do. Obviously, Sister Charlie is the more accomplished champion mare. My sister Nat's just rounding into form now, and we're seeing the best of her. So she's going to have to cut back going shorter than she's gone recently, but I think she can handle it.
And I wanted to talk about Rushing Fall. People have kind of latched on to Rushing Fall, certainly, also in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare turf for you. And I pulled up the Diane up at Saratoga, and that's part of the reason our audience is plugged in. Always love to see the Saratoga winners do well on the Breeders' Cup, and we're going to see the neck victory here. Nice, gutsy victory. Have to ask you, though, this is an extra half a furlong coming up at the Breeders' Cup than she's ever gone before. Will the extra 16th be any kind of a concern?
You know, now that she's a little older, I think she's got more range. She can run a little further. I find that with some of my turf horses. And she's no different. So I'm optimistic. I mean, she's a really top-class horse. She's won grade ones four straight years, which is really hard to do. And it'll be a test for her. But the way she's training, the way she looks, and the way she's developed into a five-year-old year, I think she can handle the distance.
Yeah, grade ones that many straight years and graded stakes at Keeneland. She's 5-for-6 at Keeneland. Do you believe in horse for a course angle?
Yeah, I definitely do, particularly on the turf. I think it matters if they really like the course. And she's certainly shown an affinity for Keeneland, which gives us some added hope that she'll be able to handle the extra 16th.
Just have a couple more I wanted to touch on because we saw a nice performance a couple of weeks ago. And again, I pulled up the replay from the Kelso for Complexity. Another one that just seems to be maybe improving now in the latter part of the four-year-old season. And Complexity, big win in the Kelso. Again, I'm a buyer's guy. I'm looking. I wonder how you digest the numbers, what numbers you look at. And that 110 buyer, does that concern you?
You know, it's a very strong number to come right back and try to run again. But, you know, he seems to be a horse now that's, after having an interrupted three-year-old season with some minor injuries here and there, he's pretty set up and in good health and as strong as I've ever seen him. So he seems to bounce out of it okay, and his work last weekend was particularly good. So he gives me a lot of optimism that he'll be able to, you know, run another top race and handle the two-turn mile.
Yeah, he certainly, again, we just saw the replay, really looked good, very impressive. Code of Honor was finishing second there, so that was a nice performance in the Kelso. And finally, specifically, I just wanted to go back. Everybody loves the two-year-olds, and Friday will be two-year-olds, and you will once again face off against Jackie's Warrior in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. We're going to go back and look at the Champagne. It's going to be number four, Jackie's Warrior, over number five, Reinvestment Risk. You finished second to Jackie's Warrior with Reinvestment Risk in the Hopeful. Those were 7 furlongs and a mile. We stretch out to 2 turns and a mile and a 16th at Keeneland. Give us your thoughts of facing off against Jackie's Warrior again. Will the 2 turns be beneficial?
Yeah, we're hoping so. It's a tall order. Obviously, the horse has done nothing wrong. Jackie's Warrior, he's very formidable, that's for sure. You know, hopefully the 2 turns, and if somebody can maybe go with that other horse early, and we'll see if there's any way to soften him up and come with a run. I thought Reinvestment Risk 2 races at Saratoga were much better than his race at Belmont. So, you know, there's a good possibility. He didn't really care for the track down here. So I'm hoping he takes to Keeneland, and with the extra distance and maybe a different pace setup and in a larger field, we're hoping that he can come back to more of the race in the Hopeful, where I think he ran very well, finishing second and and was running at that horse lead, that's the race I want to see. So that's what we're hoping for.
And don't have replays, but just some quick hitters because you have a few more there. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, public sector, thoughts on that one?
Yeah, slow pace last time. I think compromised him. I think if he gets a quick pace, which he should in this cut back to a mile at Keeneland, he'll hopefully run more to his maiden breaking race at Saratoga.
Juvenile Fillies Turf editor at large?
Yeah, she's a kind of a late bloomer. We just put her in there at the last second there. She was another one that I think was a little compromised with the pace and the Miss Grillo. Ran a really, really good race, and she came out of it and trained really, really well. Like, those two races really moved her forward. So we're going to take a shot here.
And
if she takes another step forward, she should be in good shape.
And finally, the turf sprint run, front run the Fed.
Yeah, this horse is really rounded in the form. His last race at Kentucky Downs was super. So we just left him in Kentucky with our division there and hopefully get a shot to draw into this race. And we did get in. So I think that's a bit of a wide open race. And cutting back to 5.5 furlongs is going to be different for him. He's going to have to, not make any errors. It's a very quick race. But he seems like a horse that's improving at the right time.
You mentioned your Kentucky division. How are things working out with some of your horses down there at Churchill? It's funny. It's funny for a fan like me to look in the entries and see a Chad Klarovich horse running at Churchill Downs. But you happy with the outfit down there so far?
Yeah, it's been a nice addition to our stable to take advantage of the purses, which are very good down there, particularly for Kentucky bred horses. And it's our first year having a presence there all through the year, and it's really worked out well so far. I'm very thankful of my team and the owners for supporting having that. And just gives us some more options to run for some really good prize money.
And what's your game plan as far as shipping your horses and getting everybody down to Keeneland?
Well, everyone's supposed to fly on Monday, so we'll see. That's the plan right now. We're battling some challenging weather right now down in at Belmont to get the final breezes done. So we'll just have to, play it day by day here, see if we can get all that in. It's quite a challenge.
All right, very good. Chad, again, as always, appreciate the conversation. Everybody up here likes to hear from the local guy doing well and obviously are doing well, top end of the game. And, I was looking up the stats last night already. I think it's 15 Breeders' Cup victories so far. We wish you a lot of luck this week from now, Friday and Saturday, adding to that total. But again, appreciate the visit, and we'll talk again.
Thank you very much for having me, Seth. Take care.
Yeah, appreciate it. Chad Brown, again, big weekend set up coming up. Breeders' Cup weekend. We'll be rooting for him. And, yes, we appreciate Chad taking the time. Obviously, a guy very busy, horses all over the place, and leading up to the Breeders' Cup, I'm sure the workload goes up for the staff. So, again, thanks to Chad for some of the insights on some of the runners coming up. Actually, all of the runners. We hit on, in one fashion or another, all of the runners coming up next weekend at the Breeders' Cup. As mentioned earlier, Gary Contessa jumped on board with us over the past week or so. He's been out getting some Breeders' Cup-related interviews, and we'll jump in with one of those right now. A guy who, again, is also going to have some very live runners coming up Breeders' Cup weekend. Up next, it's Gary Contessa talking with Ken McPeak.
It's Gary Contessa with Capital OTB, and I'm talking with trainer Kenny McPeak. And Kenny, you're down in Kentucky. The weather's good. Your horses are doing good. Let's get right to the big event. One thing I know about you, Kenny, is you're one of the most unconventional yet successful guys I've ever seen. I've seen you do things that just go outside the box constantly, and you've had a lot of success doing that. And I think it's almost becoming your motif, because I've seen you do it time and time again and do it successfully. Like, you have an angel on your shoulder. So Swiss Skydiver, to skip, I'm sure people were saying, well, why aren't you running in the Black Eyed Susan? Why are you running in the Preakness? And that obviously the Black Eyed Susan would have been easier, but man, that was one of the greatest decisions I've ever seen. And I have nothing but respect for that decision.
with a quarter to go at Pimlico, and the filly shows away. Swiss Skydiver, Authentic, the Derby winner, alongside. They're set for a battle in Baltimore. And on the inside, Swiss Skydiver. On the outside, Authentic. Johnny B going left-handed. Swiss Skydiver. Swiss Skydiver for a long left to go. Swiss Skydiver looking to make Preakness history. Another filly bounding toward the 16th pole. And here's Authentic on the outside, answering the call, head and head and nose and nose. Swiss Skydiver and Robbie Alvarado, they've done it.
So I noticed that you're nominated to the Classic and you're nominated to the Distaff. Tell us what you're thinking is right now.
Well, the decision going into the Preakness was, it was a really difficult one, because if you looked at the sheet numbers on her and held them up against the colts, it did look like there were two or three colts that she had. She was going to have a hard time beating. And in the Spinster at Keeneland was a race that actually, when Midnight Bijou was planning on going in, it looked like she was going to be pretty formidable. But when Tis the Law came out, it made it easier. So getting to your question, she's a win and you're in both races. So we really don't have to make a decision today on which race she goes in. We don't have any cost on pre-entry on either race. And we really don't have to make a decision until November 2nd. But if I had to say today, knowing the probables that I know, and of course the pre-entries aren't done yet, so all the information's not on the table, I'm going to say we're probably going to go in the Distaff. I'd say it's a more than likely we'll be in the Distaff. But we're still going to take a look at the Classic in case there's some late scratches or horses that look like they were going to be tough, don't run for whatever reason. We all know how fragile the game could be. One horse bruises a foot, and all of a sudden the dynamic of the whole race changes.
Right, right. So the entries are Monday morning?
Yeah, the pre-entries are Monday, but the actual entry isn't until November 2nd.
So you can stay in both races on Monday, and that's your game plan.
Yeah, we don't have to marry to either race yet. It's kind of like window shopping. We can look and see who all goes, and we can hold. And one thing that Peter Callahan and I did is we took the sheet numbers on the horses going into the Preakness, and we analyzed the sheet numbers, and we'll do the same thing on the Classic. If we think that we fit, and I do like her at a mile and a quarter better than I do at a mile and an eighth. But we'll look at those sheet numbers and make an educated decision, and we'll make the decision together. It's not all my call. He is very involved. I love it when my clients are involved. And so he knows every step we're taking, and it's really a lot of fun.
And I'm assuming she came back as good as ever out of that last race.
She's a machine. I mean, it's really an uncomplicated training regime. She's a Saturday horse. She breezes on Saturday. She runs on Saturday. Everything she does in between each Saturday is relatively light. She some days will gallop her further than others, depending on, well, first day back, I usually do more jogging. But she's just a real easy keeper. And, look, anybody could train this horse. I swear to you. She just makes our job. She's a great eater. I mean, every day we drop the feed tub in and she's screaming for it when as soon as it hits the corner of the stall. It's good. It's a good deal.
Well, when the horse helps, it does make them a lot easier to train. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're always good at the stock.
And this is not your only big shot for this year's Breeders' Cup. Tell us about your 2-year-old filly that's going to be in the juvenile filly, Simply Ravishing. And you have another Crazy Beautiful as well. Tell us about those two fillies. Simply Ravishing has been Simply Ravishing.
And Simply Ravishing still the leader. Simply Ravishing, a 4-length lead, moving into the final furlong. Now it's out to 5. Travel Column is in a tussle for that second spot, along with Crazy Beautiful, well behind Simply Ravishing. Luis Saez aboard. It is all Simply Ravishing in the Darley Alcibiades.
Yeah, not Crazy Beautiful, but the Crazy Beautiful is one of the top fillies in Kentucky. And then, of course, Simply Ravishing we had based up at Saratoga for the summer when I was up there. And this filly, you could stand her up in front of you and say, that's Ruffian, and nobody would argue with you. I mean, she's absolutely striking gorgeous. A lot of leg to her. Of course, a New York bred. And this filly, she continues to impress too. She's another one that's on a simple Saturday schedule. Her and Crazy Beautiful, I mean, it's unfortunate because most years Crazy Beautiful would be right in the conversation. And in hindsight, I probably should have sent one of them to the Frisette, but I really wanted to knock out another Alcibiades. I'm kind of that's a race that I really love. But it's an exciting week with them too, or coming up to.
And do they augment each other with their style of running?
I think Crazy Beautiful is going to ultimately be, she may end up in the one turn races. I've already kind of thinking this winter that she might end up in the Devoted Dale will be a great race for her. Although she's going to be offered for public auction.
Really?
The ownership group, Phoenix, is going to maybe run her through the Keeneland November sale. And if they get a nice figure for her, they may let her go. So hopefully we get to keep her. But in the meantime, it's a high-level problem. I mean,
right.
Just really nice horses to handle.
Right. Now, Simply Ravishing, did she break her maiden on the grass?
She did. I ran her in a two-turn open grass stake at Saratoga because I wanted her to learn, the two-turn, the pattern, so where she relaxed a little bit. I think Andy Serling said, well, we don't even know why this one's even entered in here. Well, she's supposed to be pretty good.
That's the best kind when Andy Serling doesn't like her. I like that. Now, how you won so impressively that day on the grass. I happened to be at Saratoga that day. How come dirt?
Well, there really are no two-turn dirt races for young horses. I mean, most people don't realize that you either have to run in the sprints at Saratoga Stakes, you have to wait for the P.G. Johnson, or like in Kentucky, we run one-turn mile. And I think teaching a young horse to go two turns is a big deal. And she was a filly that just real natural talented anyway. And I don't know that a good horse has to have its surface. I think you can switch surfaces relatively easy. A good horse will run over about anything. And I'm sure there's specialists and horses that certainly prefer dirt over turf. But if you get a good one, they can handle it all.
They can. And this one is living proof of that. She's been amazing on both surfaces. Yeah. Well, Kenny, have you come into the Breeders' Cup with – do you recall a year where you had a better shot than this year?
Well, I had one season where I had horses for all four juvenile races, and I ended up second, third, and third.
Wow.
Yeah, and we've got one horse that I'm not going to rule out of the juvenile colts. It's a horse named King Fury that runs on Sunday at Churchill. And if he wins the Street Sense on Sunday, he will be pre-entered on Monday.
King Fury pops outside for a bid, puts a nose in front, but Superstock with something left. Superstock and King Fury. Franz Joseph gives way third, one furlong to go. King Fury puts the white blaze in front. Superstock tries to battle on, but it's King Fury the leader, 50 yards out, half length in front. It's King Fury. Superstock final try. King Fury won it. King Fury the winner.
Okay, good. So we'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, Kenny, we're looking forward to seeing your horses run. And, man, I hope you come out of the Breeders' Cup with win, win, win. And on behalf of Capital OTB and Gary Contessa, we're rooting for you, brother. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate it.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past.
Redstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back. Yes, Kenny McPeak loaded in there, simply ravishing. Swiss Skydiver, a couple of nice two-year-olds in the juvenile potentially. So looking forward to his runners coming up on the Breeders' Cup weekend. Another trainer with a live runner, Kelly Breen, has Frenzy Fire, who fired, no pun intended, his best shot since moving into the Kelly Breen barn with the win in the Vosburgh. So once again, Gary Contessa reached out. Kelly Breen.
Gary Contessa with Capital OTB and Racing Across America. And I have the privilege of talking with recent Monmouth leading trainer, Kelly Breen. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Nice win in that title, huh? It's been a while. I remember back in 2005, 2006, you won the title, and then there was a little bit of a drought, but you come back with a vengeance this year, huh?
Yeah, I did take a private job for 10 years or so with George and Laurie Hall, so that stopped my having a lot of horses and maybe gave me a little bit more quality time around the barn and at my house with my family.
Listen, quality time is hard to come by on the racetrack, as I well know. So take it as often as you can get it. You got to take it. So tell us about Frenzy Fire. I watched the Vosburgh. He was amazing. I mean, he was sitting in the pocket. He had horse every step of the way. You know, a hair late switching leads, but as soon as he did, man, he just took off down the stretch. Tell us about how he's doing for the Breeders' Cup.
He's doing well. We have one more workout to get through. I know there's a chance of rain this next couple of days, but I like to keep him here at Belmont because he seems to thrive on it. Main track, he loves it. So we'll breeze him. I don't know if it's going to be Friday or Saturday, but one more workout. We fly out on Monday with Tex Sutton and an easy week at Keeneland the last couple of days.
And Ron Lombardi, the owner, Mr. Amore Stable, he's going to van down some dirt from Belmont to put in a stretch at Keeneland. Yeah,
we're working on that.
Good. Good. Well, that's good because the horse really looks good. And, I mean, you won the True North with him. He's such a cool old horse. I mean, when I was training, those old horses, those old quality horses were always my favorites. What's he like to train? Tell me about him.
You know, he's a little nasty in the stall. I think he's really would anticipate breeding a horse. I'd love to see that, where he's just got that side of him where he needs a little release. He needs a little aggression taken out. And I think that's to see that one race, I don't know if it was 2 years ago at Philadelphia Park, where the horse tried to bite him. I'm surprised that he didn't try and bite him back.
You know, really?
He's got that kind of attitude. He's in an open stall right by where the doors open at our barn at Belmont. I could see him outside from here. And a lot of people come and want to chat around his stall, bites him in the back. You know, people are just, you know, don't turn your back on Frenzy Fire. It's almost a joke around here.
Right. That's cool. That's cool. And, you know, and you said breeding him. Does he ever look at you and say, hey, Kelly, when am I going to breed? What more do I have to do here? When are you guys going to let me breed something?
That's all up to Ron. Ron has a couple of bites and a couple of interests. He did say to me that he's got a band of about 14 or 15 broodmares already. So if he doesn't sell them, he's already got, you know, 15 dates for sure, where that would be or what they're going to do. But he's got a lot in play and, you know, a lot going on in this last week. I don't know if, you know, a couple of interests from out of the country, different things as to possible sales, you know, to sell them. So I'm just along for the ride and trying to get them to the Breeders' Cup sprint and keep them healthy and happy. And hopefully that, you know, his two bad races for me were in the off track. All I'm looking for is a fast track, fair shot. And I think we have a good shot at winning the Breeders' Cup.
And you're going to be on the biggest stage in America. And I mean, if anybody, if ever he wanted to enhance his breeding value, all eyes of the world are going to be on him in the sprint. So I think that you might want to mention that to him right before the race.
I'll give him a little pep talk.
But, you know, as good as he's running, horses like him, they do well at seven. I mean, they don't necessarily hit that downward curve if they're sound and they're happy, you know. So, you know, I've seen those sprinter types like him last to be 8-9-year-olds and still winning stake races.
Yeah. No, he's that type. You know, I had a lot of success with a horse that won stakes up until he was seven, was Pants on Fire, won the Louisiana Derby and kept on winning stakes. So the longevity, I do know how to train a seven-year-old stakes horse. So it doesn't bother me. Whatever Ron wants to do, if he's going to be a stud or if he wants to continue running, he's doing well. He's a nice horse to train. He keeps his flesh well. So I'm excited to, you know, I wish the race was tomorrow, but I'm excited to have a horse in the Breeders' Cup and to have a horse of his quality.
Excellent. And I hope for your sake you do get to train a seven-year-old stake horse. You know, it'd be nice to see him around for another year because he's a cool, cool horse.
All right. Thank you.
Kelly, I can't thank you enough on behalf of our viewers. Now, I had a little glimpse that you were thinking about a two-year-old, but I didn't see the pre-entries yet. You have another
one? No, we're opting to stay here at Belmont. It's a Jersey bred who just won an open stakes race by the name of Pick and Time. And between the owner thinking about it, me saying how he's doing, trying to figure out, it's a big test for the breeder. You know, you have Asmussen's horse that's undefeated. He runs good in there. If we're a notch below right now, I think we'll just keep him here. Najwa, I think, is running here on the day after the Breeders' Cup. And that's what we're going to point him towards.
Good. Smart decision. I wish you best of luck in the Nashua. And we, on behalf of our viewers and Capital OTB, we wish you nothing but good things for Forensic Fire, man. We'll be rooting for you.
All right. Thank you. Excellent.
Thanks for coming on, Kelly. Best of luck.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Tends the law, and the New York Red is going to win New York's Belmont Stakes.
Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
And it's maximum security off the turn in front.
It's improbable in front, inside the eight pole.
You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Racing Across America as we continue with some Breeders' Cup preview interviews. Again, Gary Contessa reaching out to some of the contenders. And Imprimis has been on my radar for a couple of seasons now as a horse that I always take a close look at in the turf sprint stakes. I think that's kind of a specialty, and he has been a real player there. Trainer Joe Orsino has Imprimis in the Breeders' Cup, and Gary Contessa reached out and talked with Joe Orsino.
Gary Contessa with Capital OTB and Racing Across America. And we're here. We're fortunate to have Joe Orsino with us today to talk a little bit about the Breeders' Cup. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Man, pleasure. Nice horse. You know what Imprimis means? Do you know the meaning of the word?
I read it somewhere that where Craig Wheeler had posted, but refresh my memory.
It's like first or at the front. And here's a horse, 15 starts, 8 wins, and every one of them a serious win. I mean, he's danced sprinting on the turf against some of the best horses in the country, if not the best horses in the country. And you've done a heck of a job with him, Joe. Good job.
Thanks, Gary.
Tell us about this horse, because he's 6 years old. He has 15 starts. So obviously there's an Achilles heel. Tell us a little about this horse.
Okay, so I'll start at the beginning. I was in Ocala. First of all, I didn't actually see him break his maiden. Tim Hills had him for Craig Wheeler. But his second start was a Florida bred race optional claimer, and I tried to claim a horse in the race that was in for the tag that finished second that day, and I got outshook. But anyway, I happened to be in Ocala at the sale, and Mike Hall from Breeze Easy was sitting there with me, and he says, "Do you know?" He showed me the horse's name. "Do you know this horse, and do you know this guy?" And I said, "Tim Hills." I said, "Yeah, I know Tim. I know him well." And I said, "I know that horse. I said, I watched him win the other day." I said, "He's got it all over Florida Breds for the Florida Bred program." And he says, "Well, he's for sale, and Craig's my friend, and the horse is going to go to California, but I have first shot at him because he wants him to stay in Florida." I said, "If you have first shot at him and we can buy him for the right price, and I don't know what the price is." And he said, "Well, what do you think he's worth?" I said, "Off of breaking his maiden and winning an allowance race, probably 150 to 200. And that was the range. So I was like, "Well, if that's the range, then I think he should be bought, because I thought for the Florida program, he'd be fantastic." We buy him. Well, there's a question on the vetting, but I said, he's already run twice. And this was as a four-year-old, Gary. He didn't make his first start till he was four.
Right.
So, you know, he's like, "I know he's six, but he's unstarted at 2 and 3. So long story short, we buy the horse. And the first time I ran him, I told the Breeze Easy guys, Mike Hall and Sam Ross, I said, "Listen, this horse is a little better than we thought, guys, and we're probably going to have to travel with him." So travel we did. We went to, Pimlico with him and won that race. And then, you know, he had a really good year. Wasn't able to make the Breeders' Cup that year. He was injured a little bit at Philly Park, lost a shoe in the race, and he just wasn't quite himself. And I didn't think I'd be able to train him into the Breeders' Cup that year. So we put him away and brought him back for the following year.
Wow.
So, you know, that was a good story in itself. But then the following year, you know, it was great because the horse took us to Royal Ascot, which the owners had success at Royal Ascot the year before with Shang Shang Shang. So they wanted to go back, and we thought that this would be the kind of a horse that would fit that program. And the truth is, the horse ran really well that day, but unfortunately he was looking for a turn, is what Frankie Dettori told me. And at the time I didn't really understand it, but, you know, he wasn't used to going straight. And it's why he only got beat like four lengths that day. And Frankie said, "This horse ran a phenomenal race. Don't be disappointed." You know, and of course I was, but it was, you know, just part of the learning for us with the horse.
And close he did, because in the last eighth of a mile, he was 12th. And I mean, he was running under a full head of steam the last part.
Yeah. You know, Gary, it's unfortunate because I didn't know, but, I ran him in the King Stand, but the 4 days later was the Diamond Jubilee, and that was 3/4. And, you know, I really feel in my heart that if I would have run him in the Diamond Jubilee going 3/4, that he would have been third. He would have never beat Blue Point. That's just a phenomenal horse. And the horse that he almost, you know, they headed each other. But Blue Point was running back in 4 days that day. Wow. And if you look, everybody for third was struggling. The whole field was staggering. I would have been the one running. So if we went to Royal Ascot and finished third, we would have, you know, felt like we won the race and came home very happy. But, you know, again, it was a learning that I had never been there. And I'd go back, probably not with him.
I almost made it there once myself. My horse got hurt right before it was time to ship. And it's got to be a great experience going over there. It's just a whole different world, correct?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, the experience was just, you know, you couldn't put a price on it. But it was, you know, again, I like to win. So, you know, if we would have won, I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
Yeah. This horse has got 15 lifetime starts, and he takes his track with him because he's been in 11 different racetracks. He's just an amazing, amazing horse, and he must be a very interesting horse to train for you.
He is, and you know what? The softer, the better for him. So, you know, come 2 weeks from now at Keeneland, you know, at best, it's going to be soft. I mean, it won't be firm, that's for sure.
Yeah, not November 6th, November 7th at Keeneland. There's no chance that turf is going to be rock hard. And plus, I'm watching the weather. There's another hurricane coming out of the Gulf, and it looks like it's going to go straight up the East Coast. So, man, I hope you get your track, because he's certainly a neat horse. And this year's been great. You had one little hiccup when he got disqualified. Tell us about the disqualification. Was it justified? I mean, really, does a trainer say our disqualification was justified? But I'd like to hear what you thought.
And Chewing Gum, who's down at the rail. The field is in the stretch. It is American Sailor. Here's Imprimus now ranging up on the outside. Imprimus has now taken the lead. American Sailor dropping back in tight there. Shecky Sabaz and Pulsate. It is Imprimus in first place as they come down for the finish. And Imprimus wins the Troy off the layoff.
Well, of course, I wasn't happy with it, but I wouldn't have been happy with it if it was justified. But what made it worse was some really prominent people in the business that I respect a lot, and I won't give names, but I spoke and went out of my way to call stewards at different tracks and, you know, racing secretaries, and they all told me the same thing, worst DQ they've ever seen. So, you know, I mean, listen, you can't fight City Hall. And at first I thought about maybe appealing it, but the Breezy guy said, let's just move on. You know, it's not going to change our life. Let's just go forward. And the truth is, you know, as a trainer, Gary, and you can relate to this, but never once did the thought of the money we lost, and Breezy lost a lot more than me, but it's, you know, that wouldn't change their what they had for dinner that night. You know, for right. me, you know, maybe a little bit more in the commission department, but never once did I think about, man, oh man, I just lost the, you know, $8,500 more dollars or whatever. It was all about the horse. Like how this horse went all the way there, 10-month layoff, did everything we asked him to do, and you know, a little brush at the top of the stretch because.
Cut off a little short there, but you got the gist of it. It was about to end anyway. That was the last question. But yeah, we all remember that DQ up at Saratoga, and it was it did generate conversation. It was interesting to hear the perspective of the trainer there. But again, thanks to Gary Contessa for jumping in and providing some of this morning's interviews as we have, again, kind of kicked off our pre-Breeders' Cup programming to give you some ideas leading into next weekend. Thanks to Joe Orsino, Kelly Breen, and Ken McPeak for sitting in with Gary Contessa. Thanks to Gary also. And we will be continuing. Gary Contessa has another string of interviews, too, that we'll be plugging in as we proceed over the next week leading into the Breeders' Cup. And don't forget, Breeders' Cup is Friday kicking off, so we'll have some Friday morning programming as well. And I also want to thank Chad Brown, who I had a chance to chat with yesterday, and we had that at the top of the show. So hopefully we gave you some ideas, some Breeders' Cup ideas for your handicapping enjoyment, and looking forward to it coming up a week from yesterday, kicking off the Breeders' Cup next Friday and Saturday. Speaking of that, we will remind you once again, Breeders' Cup Seminar. Thursday night, 7:00. Again, usually we're out here in the clubhouse racebook. This year, though, we will be online. You can join us live, as you see, on YouTube. We'll be streamed. Mike Callahan and I will be here in the studio. Brian Addo via Zoom. We'll go over all the Breeders' Cup races. There will be an interactive aspect to it where you can toss out some questions if you would like to during the evening as well. So again, that's coming up Thursday, the Capital OTB Annual Breeders' Cup Seminar, streaming on YouTube. Don't forget also that the Breeders' Cup Syndicate You can check out the website for your opportunity to participate. Normally, the syndicates, it's a $20 buy-in. That's what it's been. We've upped it for the Breeders' Cup, and we've upped the number of people. Normally, it's 20 people. Now it's 40 people, each putting in $100. That'll be a $4,000 pot to start with. Capital OTB will put in another $1,000, and there will be a $5,000 pick five ticket on the Breeders' Cup. And hopefully it balloons up and people walk away with a lot of dough, because that's the game plan. But get your information on your chance to participate by checking out CapitalOTB.com and the Breeders' Cup Syndicate coming up next Saturday. Also here at the Clubhouse Racebook next Saturday, Breeders' Cup Day, Breeders' Cup Glass Giveaway. There'll also be a $2 Breeders' Cup Classic Quick Pick ticket. That goes to the first 150 folks with a paid admission next Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. There'll also be a match bet promotion here at the Racebook on Saturday, Breeders' Cup Day, and online a $100 win-a-bet. So should be a lot of fun with some promotions coming up Breeders' Cup week and into the Breeders' Cup weekend. Don't forget that this weekend, today, there is a double promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. You can see there the Winabet and the Matchbook happening today at the Clubhouse Racebook. Tomorrow, it's an NFL Sunday. Watch all the racing action and all the football action here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. So a nice weekend of fun here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We'd love to have you come down and join us for some racing action. Speaking of venues to check out racing, also want to alert you that we have added a new easy bet to our OTB team up in Glens Falls. The Lawrence Street Tavern kicked off, I think yesterday, opened up as an easy bet location, but you can stop by there if you're up in the Glens Falls area. Lawrence Street Tavern, new easy bet for the OTB patrons up in that neck of the woods. And before I wrap up, also just wanted to alert you, we talked a little bit about it already, but this weekend, today, there's a mandatory Rainbow Six payment payout at Gulfstream Park West. That's today. Tomorrow, the Empire goes at Belmont. So keep that in mind if those wagers. And at the 20-cent increments, you can get in and put together a nice little ticket and maybe have a little fun over the weekend with some of those pick six mandatory pays coming up. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Again, kicking off some Breeders' Cup preview conversation. As I say, hopefully we gave you some good information to kind of chew on over the next few days. Pre-entries are already out. You can pick up past performances at all the past performance providers that are out there and kind of start to dig in. We won't know the actual, you know, fields and whatnot and post positions and everything until they set that up on Monday. But again, you can get a little head start and start digging in if you would like to. All right. Once again, I'm going to wrap things up. Be back in an hour and a half or so with Racing Across with OTB Live. I get every Saturday morning I get mixed up. OTB Live coming up in a couple. Post time at Belmont, 12:40. Post time at Churchill, 1 o'clock. We'll have some other tracks, obviously, in the mix as well. So, again, about an hour and a half or so back with OTB Live for this Saturday afternoon. So, thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll see you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.